Dr. John Braccio is the Director of Regional Psychological Services, and it's time for Speaking Psychological on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Check out drjohnb.com. Dr. Braccio sent me just a very sad email when we heard about the shooting on Friday. He writes, the mass killing and suicide at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut, to slaughter young innocents goes to the unthinkable. Two mothers I know have called me in tears, stressing out over their own daughters experiencing such an unspeakable abandonment of human decency. It touches an emotional response from any caring human being. The evil and rage are almost impossible to comprehend. That's quite a statement, Dr. Braccio. Good morning.
Well, yes, Tony, it is quite a statement. It's also quite true in my estimation. When you cross a threshold when you're out murdering and shooting them various times, apparently, little first graders, kindergartners, first graders, children of this age, you know, murder is a horrible thing, let alone killing your mother, I might add, four times, apparently, right in the face. But when you cross over and really kill little innocents, I mean, it just is even hard to fathom. If his goal in some evil, perverted way was to make notoriety for himself, he has done that, but in a way that, will forever just have a very extremely negative view of him and appropriately of him as a very, very destructive, evil, disturbed person.
Dr. Braccio, it seems like one of the things we want to do with our children is to preserve that precious commodity of innocence.
Yes, that's really true. We want them to be innocent. We also want them to be safe, okay, and secure. And in a world of kidnappings and just kind of a disjointed world, Tony, because, you know, as we become more and more evolved technologically, if you will, often that does make people less and less in communicating with each other. We also have a clear breakdown of the family over the years. We have a loss of, we'll call it group identity, family identity, nuclear identity. We have a breakdown in levels of spirituality, moral development. So there are many ways you can look at this whole thing. One way is look at it. Certainly gun control could be a way to look at it. But far more than that is the human soul. That you're seeing, we're seeing more and more of this, that people can just up and do things. And with our children, I think it's important for us to be instilling in them, I guess we use the word virtue, I guess words like caring, like loving, if we can instill and we have a belief in God, I think that's a very important component for people. If not, then a sense of strong morality in terms of right and wrong. And work on their innocence, but do it within a safe environment as we can. And the problem with this particular case, apparently this person broke into a secure school. So there really is no place that is totally safe, unfortunately. We have to just take the best options and choices that we can to make sure our children are as safe as they can be and are as wise if they run into problems in life. I just think that's kind of common sense. But clearly there's an innocence breaking in America, and it probably has been for a long time, and parents have a big responsibility to do what they can to help their children be the best they can, but also be as safe as they can be.
Dr. Braccio, when dealing with children who have faced such tragedy, what can happen to them, and how do you help them get past the negatives?
Well, the problem is, Tony, everyone reacts differently, and some relive these things over and over in a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. I think it's important that if a person is having problems, that there be family unity, that the people talk about it. If there's a need to bring in a minister, bring in a therapist, bring in friends, because friends that have experienced this can also be helpful, getting people together that have experienced the same kind of a thing. The main thing is everyone reacts differently. Some really kind of deal with it themselves in some ways. Others need communication. Everyone needs support. So if you know someone who's seen a really a horrible thing of this variety, it is important that they be talked to, they be cared for, and that there be some level of support for whether it be therapy, whether it be from a spiritual point of view, family, or some combination of all of them. But don't underestimate the impact that it can have on a person over a lifetime.
It's said the most horrific thing that a parent can experience is to outlive their child. How do you help a parent get over such a tragedy?
Well, you can help. You never completely get over it. And this is even beyond, we're talking about being slaughtered by a madman, if you will, an evil force, so to speak. I think, in any case, you just try to offer love, you offer caring, you offer friendship. You also work with people in terms of if they have a spiritual belief that they're going to meet, and I do believe that, I might add. But if a person doesn't have that, try to focus on the impact the person had in life, the impact they still have by you and other persons that loved and cared the person, and the fact that examples from that person's life can be given to others. Like if a young child dies, however it occurs, we can try to give examples to others to hopefully have something like that not happen. If it happens later in life and we see whether it was a health issue, whether whatever the issue may have been, if there was something they might have done differently, that we can give advice and caring. But I don't think anyone ever gets over the loss of a child like we really never get over the loss of a parent if we love and care for the parent. So it's a tough, but it's always being supportive. And I also do something else that I think people could do that's helpful. When you run into people, you might bring up memories of the person and talk about the good times that you had and get a laugh and get some things together. People like that. They like to be remembered because over time, people a lot of times don't like to talk about and bring things up. And obviously, if a person is traumatized, you don't do that. But generally speaking, people like to hear memories, nice experiences, things that you did with their child, could be a spouse, but we'll talk about children, so they know they're remembered and the light of that memory burns on.
Dr. Braccio, how do you help someone who would do something like this? And are they, can they be helped?
Well, the problem you have here is, let's assume that this young man, Adam, okay, let's just assume that he had some form of autism, okay? Well, there are many persons that have Asperger's, which is also a form of autism, and they're not killing people. They're often have some difficulties in social interactions with people, okay? It's a social problem, if you will. But often these are the most wonderful, caring people. So one, we don't want to categorize a whole group and say, ha-ha, someone like that could be killing someone. The problem is, it's hard to really know. If you have someone who's talking violence, if you have somebody who has deep hatred and anger, and you know that, that's when you really want to try to help that person, whether they might kill someone or not. If you see that anger, that rage, that feeling of not belonging, that feeling of isolation, those are the people that we need to get to, and we need to be offering some form of counseling and support. It's hard to predict who's going to be doing this, these type things, but it does appear these mass murders that have been occurring have been done by kind of loners, people that have felt rejected by society, isolated by society, or don't really have a place in society. That appears to be a pattern here. This will all become more clearly in Adam's case here, the Lanza boy, and with the others that have been doing the murders. But there definitely seems to be a lack of socialization, a lack of place in life, and a deep rage and anger over this. So those are we need to look for people vulnerable to those feelings and people that have them. From that point, of course, I'm a psychologist, that would be a mental health issue, and also very well could be a lack of spirituality, a lack of any feeling of really any real purpose in life, Tony. Very, very difficult. When these things occur, 100 reasons, 100 things come out, but clearly looking at the individual who is in such great pain and then leads to this horrible pain and suffering for others, it's almost like wanting to share this terrible experience that they're having and bring it forth on other people. Pretty horrible stuff. And if we see the lonely, the left out, the isolated, the people that just seem to just not be in place and something going on, often it's family, often neighbor, often friendly, often, or, you know, friends or students, call it what you will. Let's get out there and try to offer some caring and offer some support. It can be, again, smiles, hugs, hello, would you like to talk, things of this type. Anybody in that position can do it. Anyone listening to us when we're talking, trying to just think of somebody they know that they're close to, they have some communication with, and try to offer some communication, help, and support.
All right, final question for you. Is there a mental health problem here in our area, in our state, and in our country? And by that, do we have enough treatment? Do we have enough? Are we too apathetic toward this? Do we need more funding?
Well, I don't know if it's just funding. I wouldn't want to speak on funding because I'm not really sure. The one thing I am aware of, though, we do need to be taking a look at, as you know, there's been a breakdown in society, no question, in terms of the family, in terms of more and more isolated people out there. We need to be focusing on that group, and we need to be looking for the people that feel isolated, feel lost, feel they don't have a place in life. And that can be a focus. Obviously, that can lead to more money, can lead to more therapists. I'm just thinking at a beginning level to start making that a focus that teachers can be looking for, ministers can be looking for, families can be looking for the type of person who absolutely develops this terrible, terrible rage and just goes on rampages, wanting to be noticed, apparently, and doing these horrible things. So I'm not saying we don't need more money, but I think the first thing to do is make it a priority. Look at this problem, seek out where these people are, and try to offer support through all levels of our system.
You had also mentioned that there were two mothers who called you who were in tears. Tell us that story before we let you go.
Really kind of an interesting thing. One I worked with quite a while ago and one that I do work with now just were absolutely overwhelmed emotionally and were trying to even think, what if this had happened to my child? And just kind of wanted to talk to me, just tried to get some feelings out. And I made the comment. I said, well, you know, remember this, it didn't happen. Okay, you can thank God, thank society, thank, call it whatever you will, thank wherever you are. But it didn't happen to you. But make sure you love your children. Make sure you're hugging. In this case, it was each two children. Make sure that you're hugging, you're showing love, you're showing caring, you're showing affection. And recognize just how important your children really are to you and in your life. And just, put your heart out for these people that have lost their children, but really just love and care what you have and appreciate and just thank God is the word that I was really using with them and just trying to be supportive. But you can easily have this. I've been upset myself, Tony. I think anybody with any sense of common decency, the idea of seeing somebody in killing people, educators trying to help people and just slaughtering these cute, wonderful little children is just beyond the pale, into the realm of the unthinkable. So that is what this, when they called me and they shared feelings, I shared, really agreeing with them and trying to be supportive, and I'm sure I'm going to be seeing more and more of that as we go along, Tony.
Dr. John Braccio is the Director of Regional Psychological Services, and we've been speaking psychological on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Check out drjohnb.com. John, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Tony.